many moons ago, I think it was during my student nurse training, and this was back in Ireland, I had a patient who went for surgery for removal of a cancer, and they returned from theatre and nothing was able to be done. And the patient died 10 days later, but nobody discussed with the patient what their diagnosis, what was wrong with them. The family were aware, but the patient wasn't. The family thought it best not to tell the patient. And I just thought that was very sad, because we had taken control of that person's life. Also, it made it harder for me to nurse the patient, because I felt I wasn't being honest and I couldn't talk openly. And then that put barriers up. So that started my interest in cancer. And from there, it just grew and grew. It's an ever-changing, an ever-developing field, and an exciting field because of that. In cancer, there's the surgical aspect, there's the medical aspect, which is chemotherapy, and then there's the radiotherapy aspect as well. I haven't done much surgery, but I've spent the last 20-odd years doing chemotherapy, and I've done some radiotherapy. So the world of cancer, and in particular chemotherapy, is changing. People are living longer with cancer. And as new treatments are developed to treat cancer, they never replace an existing one. They always get added in as an extra treatment. So for patients, even with advanced cancer, they could get diagnosed, have a treatment, then they're in remission, then they relapse, and then they can have another lot of treatment. Then they go back into remission. At some point they relapse and they can have another lot of treatment. So the numbers of patients we treat on a year-by-year basis is increasing. So I have some patients who come to the day unit here who have been coming for the past 8-12 years regularly, or on and off, depending on what their cancer type is. So more and more people are living with cancer. And then for another group, they're cured, because we've developed new drugs in particular over the last 20 years, a higher number of patients are actually being cured of their cancer. Every cancer centre will have a lead chemotherapy nurse, a lead chemotherapy pharmacist, and a lead chemotherapy doctor, consultant. So the three of us meet regularly and review all of those processes, policies, procedures, and update accordingly. A typical day of working in the day treatment unit would involve potentially 40 to 50 patients coming in to the oncology section, and they would start arriving at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, for treatment, some of our treatments will only take 15 minutes to give. Some takes an hour, some takes 2 hours, and then another group would be as far out as taking 8 to 10 hours. As patients arrive, we meet and greet them. You're having to assess how they've been since their last lot of chemotherapy. You have a tick list of various things to check to make sure they've been done. Check they've had bloods, that the results are okay for us to go ahead with chemotherapy. And if you identify any concerns, it's then actioning that concern appropriately. So whether you think they need to be reviewed by a doctor or a pharmacist or a dietitian. If all is well, then it's collecting the chemotherapy. Then we would cannulate the patient, which is where we insert a needle into their vein, and then we would start to administer the treatment. The extra responsibilities that you would be looking at, and I think this comes about with experience, is trying to elicit if the patient has any other concerns other than just their physical well-being. Have they got any emotional, psychological, financial concerns? And sometimes that can be quite difficult in a busy day unit, because they can be quite private questions. And it's developing your skills and honing in and how to get that information out of patients, and then to see what you can do. Sometimes you can help people, sometimes there isn't a lot you can do, bar to offer a listening ear and a friendly smile. But it's just being aware, and then if you can help, putting those mechanisms in place, either through the GP or some of the charities that are around. And then when the patients finish their treatment, it's doing all the end of treatment care, removing the needle and discharging the patient home and making sure they've got follow-up appointments. And on a typical day, a nurse in DTU, we would have on average between 5 to 8 patients to look after, depending what they've come in for and the length of time they're going to be in the department. For me, the aim of my job, as I see it, is to help patients in the here and now. I can't necessarily cure the cancer. I can't take it away. That's something they've got to go through. That's what their family have to go through. I see myself as a bit of a signpost so I can guide people. I see myself as a neutral person so I can listen. But I think it's just helping in the here and now. And that can be quite far ranging. It can be just the simple thing of offering a friendly smile, getting to know them, knowing a little bit about something special in their life. I always try and get patients to tell me a story. That way, with all the patients, the hundreds of patients we have every year, I always think, I may not remember your name, I'll remember your face, but what I find is I remember your story. And the story stays with me for as long as you stay with me. And that can be quite a nice icebreaker to patients as they're coming back. You can say, oh, you know, how's your daughter? How did the wedding go? How did this go? I think the other thing is patients don't always want to talk about their cancer. So it's actually being sensitive to what their needs are. So if somebody wants to have a cry, give them a shoulder to cry on. If they want to talk about the weather, what's going on in the papers, and have a laugh and a joke, that's what we do. You get patients who can be angry, and it's actually managing that anger. And also people might just want to be quiet and just retreat into their own corner. And it's trying to, with the angry person, it's trying to see past the anger and what's causing the anger. And is there anything you can help to alleviate stresses that are triggering the anxiety? And for the person who wants to be quiet, it's actually just making sure that they're not becoming depressed and retreating into themselves. But other than that, it's identifying them, helping where you can, and then letting people adjust and go through their journey. So that's on one level. And then on another level, it's having the very technical skills, being able to insert the needles. That can be a skill. And for some patients, having needles inserted can be painful, can make them very phobic. And so the more skilled you do at doing that, the easier it is for the patient. And then learning all about the chemotherapy and the side effects and how best to prevent or manage the side effects. So I see myself as being one big long seesaw. On one hand, very simple things like a smile. Then you go through some psychological issues, and then you go to the other end where you've got your very technical skills. And that's the way I see my work. Paclitaxel would be used to treat ovarian cancer, breast cancer, and Kaposi sarcoma, which is a cancer that patients with advanced HIV disease get. Docetaxel is used for breast cancer, lung cancer, prostate cancer. And if patients don't tolerate docetaxel for whatever reason, clinical reason, they may be put onto paclitaxel, which is in the same family, but maybe just not as effective, but actually would treat the same cancer. It belongs to the same family of drugs. Breast cancer, there are many different types of breast cancer, and how we diagnose the different types, it depends on where it is located in the breast. It depends on the type of cell that has been affected. So when we look at the cells under a microscope, that may determine the type of breast cancer. So we're looking at the area in the breast and the type of cell that is affected. But the last 10, 20 years, other advances have been made, and that's included where we look at, is the cancer cell sensitive to hormones? and that can influence what treatment path we would make. Some breast cancer cells are known to have proteins on the surface, so we would start looking for those proteins, and that can influence another decision treatment pathway. And we start looking at the genes that are in the cell, and that can also affect another cancer pathway we take. So actually, when we say breast cancer, that's like a big umbrella, and the subtypes can be quite many and varied. Most commonly for our cancers would be a combination of surgery and radiotherapy, or then it could be surgery, chemotherapy and radiotherapy. And then you may add in hormone treatment that could be taken for about 10 years after the patients have completed radiotherapy. Sometimes if the size of a breast lump is large on diagnosis, the decision will be made to give chemotherapy first. And the idea of chemotherapy first is to shrink down the size of the tumour as much as possible so that there's less tissue needs to be removed at surgery. And it has reduced the number of mastectomies that need to be done. With the use of docetaxel, I've actually seen patients where they've had the first three episodes or cycles of chemotherapy, then they switch to docetaxel, and actually by the time they finish the docetaxel, the tumour has shrunk away completely. So what's common practice for us now is that the doctors will get the surgeons to insert a marker into the breast where the tumour is, so that if by the time we get to the end of chemotherapy, the tumour has shrank completely and is no longer visible on scans, at least the surgeons, when they go to operate and remove some tissue, because we have to remove some tissue because there could be some tiny cells still floating around in there that are cancerous but aren't detected on a scan. So by having a marker in there, they can remove a lump of tissue and then under the microscope examine it for cancer cells and make sure they've cleared all the cancer cells away. Think of it like a dandelion seed that flowers, and when you blow, it floats off elsewhere. And you can't detect that. They're, you know, tiny, tiny, tiny little things, and it can be just one cancer cell. So by giving chemotherapy, it goes around the whole body and hopefully will kill any cancer cells that are around. And then in case there's any cancer cells that are resistant to chemotherapy and we've missed with the surgery, we know the highest incidence of them will be in the breast area. So that's why we'll do radiotherapy, because radiotherapy will go into that breast area and kill any residual cancer cells. And hopefully those three interventions will get rid of the cancer completely. And then if the person is sensitive and we feel hormones is an appropriate treatment, they would start hormone treatment afterwards.